Janamaguyam Bhagavato Ya etat prayato naraha Sayam pratar grinan bhaktya Dukha gramad vimuchyate Janamakha janamaguyam bhagavato Ya etat prayato naraha Sayam pratar grinan bhaktya Dukha gramad vimuchyate Janamaguyam bhagavato Ya etat prayato naraha Sayam pratar grinan bhaktya Dukha gramad vimuchyate Uyam mysterious Bhagavata of the Lord Ya one Etat all these Prayata carefully Nara man Sayam evening Prata morning Grinan recites Bhaktya with devotion Dukha Gramat from all miseries Vimuchate gets relief from Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Personality of Godhead has declared that anyone who knows the principles of the transcendental birth and activities of the Lord will go back to Godhead after being relieved from this material tabernacle. So simply knowing factually the it's Vaishnava etiquette to always have water for whoever speaks. That should be a principle for every speaker who speaks Bhagavatam. You always put water. Should never have to ask. Factually, the mysterious way of the Lord's incarnation in this material world can liberate one from material bondage. Birth and activities of the Lord, as manifested by Him for the welfare of the people in general, are not ordinary. They are mysterious. And only by those who carefully try to go deep into the matter by spiritual devotion is the mystery discovered. Thus one gets liberation from material bondage. It is advised, therefore, that one who simply recites this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the appearance of the Lord in different incarnations, in sincerity and devotion, can have insight into the birth and activities of the Lord. The very word vimukti, or liberation, indicates that the Lord's birth and activities are all transcendental. Otherwise, simply by reciting them, one could not attain liberation. They are therefore mysterious, and those who do not follow the prescribed regulations of devotional service are not entitled to enter into the mysteries of his birth and activities. Om Agyantimitandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guruve Namaha Dancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patidhanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. We have just heard from the third chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam of a description of many of the most prominent incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as they appear within this material world. Here, Srila Sutta Goswami is revealing to us the great need for regularly hearing the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. In this material existence, within this human form of life, the mind is by nature very active, always seeking some object to place its attention upon. We see how human race has devised so many processes of occupying their minds in today's society. Within every city there are so many newspapers, because people are anxious to occupy their minds with something. And the more sensational the news is, the more the papers sell, because people are by nature bored. They want some excitement. When there's some major tragedy, people say, oh, how sad. But actually, every time they pick up the newspaper, they're hoping there's something like that. They don't want to just read ordinary news. They want to hear something amazing that's happened. and the only amazing things that happen are tragedies, crises, terrible emergencies. Every now and then there's some good news. And how many magazines are there? We cannot even calculate. There's magazines about famous actors and actresses, and there's magazines about the latest scandals within society, and there's magazines about photography, and magazines about automobiles, and magazines about business, and magazines about practically everything. And different people, according to the particular modes of nature that they are influenced by, they are longing to keep their mind occupied with some subject matter. Now then, of course, there is music for those in the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Maya provides so many different forms of music, classical music, popular music, all sorts of other degraded forms of music. And then there is the cinema houses, people spending their hard-earned money. And then there is the television sets, which practically control the world. And then there are so many sporting events, cricket and soccer and football and baseball all over the world. It's the biggest news in America right now that the baseball players are on strike. It's the front page of every newspaper, every magazine, every television news forecast, every day, all day. The whole America is being crushed because the baseball players are on strike. And they can't go by the hundreds and thousands, there's millions of people every day that go to these baseball games. What to speak of those watching on television and hearing on radios and reading in newspapers. They have an entire daily newspaper only on baseball. USA Today has its USA Today baseball, and it's at every newsstand selling millions every day. And now they're on strike. That means it's finished. In the name of a sport, it's just big business. Unless they get paid, the average baseball player in America makes $1.2 million per year. And they're on strike because they're complaining that they're not getting enough. And these are athletes, not very much in the mood of sacrifice, simply in the mood of greed. And in this way, people are just so much in need of keeping their minds occupied. Of course, in America now, some of the largest selling magazines are magazines about guns and ammunition. Because people are just fascinated by ways of destruction. This is the progress of society. And we understand from Srimad Bhagavatam that this propensity is the nature of the soul, because the soul is dynamic, it is active, it is searching always for pleasure. And that pleasure can only be understood in truth when we occupy our minds always in thinking of Krishna. Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyajim Nam Namaskuru Mamai Vaishashi Shatyante Pratijani Priyoshime Yato Yato Nishchalate Manaschanchanam Ashtaram Tathastatam Yamyatad Atman Yena Basham Nayet. That this mind is by nature flickering. It is always looking for some object to focus its attention upon. But a devotee must be very, very strict and keep the mind always in thinking of Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that every morning we should beat our mind with shoes, and every evening we should beat our mind with the broomstick. And here it is explained that one who carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relieved from all miseries of life. When we first come to Krishna consciousness, and even for many years, until we become very elevated, our mind is so deeply conditioned to the material forms of enjoyment that it really doesn't have a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. It prefers to read newspapers and magazines and televisions and radios and musics and cinemas and talk all kinds of nonsense about the latest politics, gossip, and everything else. This is our tendency. This is how we are being trained. But we must recondition our mind by tolerating these urges. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, with a broomstick and with shoes, we have to discipline our mind. Disciple means discipline. We cannot think that we are on the level of spontaneous love as long as we have any inclination for anything except hearing and chanting and serving the Lord. And this discipline is required, because Krishna says that the mind that is uncontrolled is the worst enemy, but the mind that is properly disciplined is our best friend. The mind is so infatuated by succumbing to the dictations of our false ego, which are too much attached to our senses, that it's actually very difficult to just follow instruction. Although it's actually the easiest things, our mind makes it difficult. To just do what you're told is easy. To speculate and concoct is actually very troublesome and complicated. But the conditioned mind makes the simplest thing complicated, and the most complicated thing, we have the illusion that that's the simple way. Just like one great American poet, he said, the mind is such a thing that it can make a heaven out of hell or a hell out of heaven. And that's just what we're trying, that's just what we've been trained to do with our mind. Spiritual life is higher than heaven. To chant the holy names, to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, to submissively associate with devotees. But when we sit down to do it, sometimes it's like hell. Well, you're laughing. And to forget Krishna is hell. But when we sit with the daily newspaper, or we sit with the magazines, or we sit in front of television, or we talk all nonsense, prajalpa, it is like heaven. It's like drinking nectar. This is our unfortunate condition. And therefore, we must be disciplined. with shoes and with broomsticks. This doesn't mean literally. I can see Nimai Pandit after class taking shoes and broomsticks. This doesn't mean literally. It means figuratively that we must discipline ourselves. And we cannot discipline ourselves, but we have to be willing to accept the discipline that is given by Krishna through his representatives, the advanced devotees of the Lord. And the most important form of discipline is simply to regularly hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Krishna has specifically made so many incredibly wonderful arrangements to incarnate in this world in the most fantastic forms, really only for the purpose that we can regularly hear and chant the glories of those incarnations. After all, when Hiranyaksha, that great demon, due to his exploitative mentality, was instrumental in casting the earth planet on the bottom of the ocean, Garbhodak Ocean, Krishna, he's the master of the law of gravity. All he had to do if he wanted is just through gravitational forces bring the earth back to its position. But Krishna appeared as the form of Varahadev, such a wonderful boar. And how did he appear? He came out of the nose of Brahma, the size of the tip of a thumb. And everyone was thinking, what is this little tiny boar? And then he began to grow in size, that within seconds he was like a Himalayan mountain. And he just kept growing and growing and growing until this boar, this hog, was so gigantic in size that he could take the earth between his tusks and carry it to its proper position. When the Lord appeared, when the Mandara mountain was sinking during the churning of the ocean of milk by the suras and the asuras, the Lord could have easily, just by his free will, stabilized that mountain. He could have done so many ways. He could have just put some platform under it. But instead, he appeared as a tortoise with a shell that was just enormous. And he was just relaxing under this gigantic mountain, which was so heavy that all these suras and asuras could not possibly control it. And he was just, as it was grinding against his shell, his back, he was feeling great pleasure because it was scratching the itch that happened to be on his back. You know, in the form of a tortoise, it's not so easy for tortoises to scratch their back. If you ever seen the physiology of tortoise. So the Lord accepted this form and let the demigods and demons scratch his back. Why did he do like that? To kill Hiranyakashipu. How he appeared as a half man, half lion. To save the Vedas, he appeared as a fish 9 million miles, huh? something like that, 9 million miles big. It's big. And in this way, the Lord appears in the most unbelievable, wonderful, and extraordinary ways, simply because through this process, the devotees will never forget him. We can hear these wonderful pastimes and never tire of them, because there's nothing material nature can possibly offer that can compare to the extraordinary activities of the Lord. In the Western world, the biggest thing in entertainment now is special effects. They go to these cinemas, and through all sorts of computer technology, they can create all types of special effects. Dinosaurs jumping all over the place and like that. And people just spend so much money and so much of their time. They'll go to the same movie 10, 20, 30 times. Just to see the special effects. They already know what's going to happen. It's not like the plot or the theme is anything exciting. But what type of special effects are there just by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? The Lord is so wonderful. Krishna is the greatest of the great. So therefore, Krishna appears in these various extraordinary and mysterious forms, especially to give pleasure to the hearts and the minds of the devotees and to attract the minds of all living beings. And we are so covered over by the modes of material nature that we do not even have a taste for hearing these wonderful pastimes. But these pastimes are, in and of themselves, by nature, so purifying, because they are of a divine, transcendental descent, that just by hearing regularly, our natural affinity to love Krishna will awaken within our heart. The more we hear the glories of the Lord, the more we want to hear the glories of the Lord. The more we chant the names of the Lord, the more we develop a taste for chanting the names of the Lord through purification. And it is explained here in Srila Prabhupada's translation, whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. That means whoever we may be. It is the nature of every jivatma to be attracted to Krishna's wonderful qualities. Whether we be the most fallen of the fallen, or whether we're the most pious of the pious, or anywhere in the middle, if we simply discipline ourselves to this process of regularly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, we will get relief from the miseries of life. It is a simple formula. The miseries of this material existence are all pervading. It doesn't matter what classification within society we're in. We have to suffer. Amongst the wealthy people, amongst the great aristocratic people, there's so much suffering, there's so much death, there's so much disease, there's so much envy and hatred. And amongst the poorest of the poor, there's disease, there's lack of funds, there's death of near and dear ones. This world is a place of misery. Only the greatest blind fool could deny it. there's misery everywhere. It's imminent at all times. And there's no escape except through this formula. In today's verse, the only formula for relief from the miseries of material life is understood by regularly disciplining our mind to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada gave us a way of life by which we can become Krishna conscious. In the Western world, when Srila Prabhupada came, there was already so many spiritual teachers, so many philosophies. But Srila Prabhupada was giving us a way that we could practically apply the highest philosophies to our life every day. And we should be very careful to follow this principle. Every morning, we should begin by chanting the Lord's name and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Whoever we are, whether we're brahmacharis living in the temple or whether we're living at home, this is a necessity of life if we want to make spiritual advancement. Every morning we must chant the names of the Lord, and we must hear the wonderful pastimes and teachings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it is also explained here that it is essential to hear the glories of the Lord every evening as well. That is why it is very important, as far as possible, that devotees come to evening program, whether it be in temple or whether it be somewhere else, to come together to hear the glories of the Lord every morning and every evening is essential. And if we are not fortunate enough to have such an opportunity to come to such wonderful satsang, we should know that amongst one another, we should read and discuss the glories of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada established many years ago that every night before devotees would take rest, especially in brahmachari ashrams, but even when grihasthas were living in temples, everyone would come together to hear one chapter of Krishna book before taking rest. This was practically a regulative principle to hear the beautiful stories of Krishna's lila before taking rest at night. And Srila Prabhupada, he painstakingly translated these wonderful books and gave his most merciful purports to give us a chance to hear the glories of the Lord every morning and every evening. Srila Prabhupada greatly emphasized distributing his books to give the whole world the chance to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. But he told us that he especially wrote these books so that his devotees would regularly read them and study them and hear them morning and evening. I remember when I first came from India and came back to America, and I was in New York City to see Srila Prabhupada at the temple on Henry Street in Brooklyn, 1972. And at that time, the temple in Brooklyn, their program was very simple. Everyone would rise at about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning or something, and they would take their bath and they would come for Mangal Arati, Tulsi Puja, then they would chant 16 rounds, then they would hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, then they would take prasad, and then Everybody was out, except perhaps one cook and one pujari. And there were two activities. There was Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution. Devotees would be out distributing books and chanting in the streets, and half of Harinam Sankirtan is also book distribution. And they would be out from about 9 in the morning till about 6 at night. Then they would come back, have little prasad, and then come to Bhagavad Gita class. And then after Bhagavad Gita class, they would drink milk and hear Krishna book, and then they would go to sleep. That was their whole day. So besides Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and their sadhana, they were just out distributing books in Harinam. And Harinam was based around book distribution also. So that was everything the devotees did. And those two pujaris, they would alternate. So every other day or every 3 days, they would be out. And Prabhupada was chastising them during Srimad Bhagavatam class. He said, "Do you read my books? Have you studied and learned my books? I have written these books for you." He said, "When you go out to distribute these books, if someone asks you, 'What is it about?' what will you say?" "I don't know. I only sell them." He said, "You must be convinced of the content of these books by every day carefully studying them and reading them. And if you are convinced, then you can convince another person not only to buy it, but to read it." So whatever our service may be, later on, of course, there were restaurants and so many different projects and college preaching and everything else started coming. Prabhupada established more and more wonderful ways in which devotees can help spread the glories of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. But they are all based upon the potency that we will gain through becoming pure. Whatever our service is, the potency is to the degree we are pure and humble in surrendering to the order of the previous acharyas. And the potency will come through us to the degree we love Krishna. And we really have a taste and attraction for Krishna consciousness. So therefore, in whatever order of life we may be, whatever our particular service may be, it is very, very necessary that we carefully study these wonderful books that Srila Prabhupada has given us on a regular basis. We must keep our mind occupied with the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. We must seek our happiness and joy in life in hearing of the wonderful pastimes of the Lord, in chanting the holy names of the Lord. Is there any questions?